Welcome to the 12th episode of The Void of Literature. Today, we're doing an unscripted episode on Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi.
I'm Nick and this is Elijah.
The tea we're drinking today is English breakfast. I think this is just a generic black tea you think of when someone mentions black tea. It doesn't have any unique sweetness or bitterness, it's just black tea. But it's still good.
I mean, this is because the only ingredients in English breakfast are black tea, so.
The blurb for Before the Coffee Gets Cold. In a small back alley in Tokyo, there's a cafe which has been serving carefully brewed coffee for more than 100 years. But this coffee shop offers its customers a unique experience, the chance to travel back in time. In Before the Coffee Gets Cold, we meet four visitors, each of whom is hoping to make use of the cafe's time-traveling offer, in order to confront the lover who left them, receive a letter from their husband whose memory has begun to fade, see their sister one last time, and meet the daughter they never got the chance to know. But the journey into the past does not come without risk. Customers may sit in a particular seat, they cannot leave the cafe, and finally, they must return to the present before the coffee gets cold. Toshikazu Kawaguchi's beautiful moving story explores the age-old question. What would you change if you could travel back in time?
All right, let's get started with the 12th episode of The Void of Literature.
So Nick, what's so good about Before the Coffee Gets Cold?
Well, firstly, time travel is not the main point of the book. Like, a lot of time travel sci-fi novels, the main point of the book is the time travel, and there's like this villain who's disturbing the timeline or whatever, and the universe is going to unravel and it's all going to go bang. And so I think this book does a really good job of keeping the time travel there but not making it become the main point of the book, because like the time travel is there to assist with the stories that come within the book. The stories that can't come within the book aren't there to assist the time travel. So I think this is a really good thing about that book.
Yeah, the book has time travel in it, which, as Nick said, all good sci-fi books have an aspect of it. And normally, if there's time travel, there's action, and if there's action, there's a villain. And if there's a villain, they're trying to go boom, as Nick said earlier. And I think the book does a really good job of incorporating time travel while not making it a action sci-fi fighting novel, and instead making it about other various things that maybe a normal person, a normal adult would want to do if they could time travel. Which brings us to the next point. It's about people's stories and family.
So this is the main point of the book. So it's all about people's stories and lost regrets they've had. So that's how the time travel aspect works. And it's time travel itself plays an important role in this. And it's pretty interesting because one of the rules of the cafe is that you can't change the present if you go back in time. So this makes the stories way more interesting than if it was, you can change the present, because often with changing the present, it also arises a bunch of paradoxes. So I think this works really well with that, because the stories themselves are built on the time travel, but the time travel is like, the stories are built on the time travel, but the time travel is not creating paradoxes.
Yeah, so the time travel, as we said earlier, is incorporated into it without making any big problems or things that could mess things up. And the writer mainly focuses on how people are trying to mend stuff and see stuff without breaking something or destroying the entire universe by trying to see what a loved one meant. And no big spoilers, but at the end of each one, there is some sort of foreshadowing into what is going to happen, but there's still no, oh, that's going to happen, so then the universe is going to suddenly collapse due to a villain exploding everything and going boom. And I think the fact that Lost Regrets, as Nick said, is the center of the book makes it very good at portraying emotions, which brings us to the next point.
Yeah, the book really does a really good job of communicating emotions, and it often finds like the right adjective for the job or the right way of showing what the character's feeling, because there's a lot of niche in the like the way you read it. So if you can't quite understand what the author's trying to get across, then it you kind of disconnect from the novel a bit, and it makes you less into the book and engaged in the world. So I think, yeah, he does a really good job of doing that.
Yeah, so the last point was that it's about people's stories and families, and with stories and with stories about family and going back to see them or to mend things or to just experience something that you wouldn't experience, it has to portray emotions very well. And I think it does a really good job at communicating what emotions, what characters are feeling at the moment, in the moment. And that makes you able to connect to the character, which makes a really good story. So I think that the writer did a very good job at communicating emotions, which made the book really good.
But of course, no book is without its flaws, and no book is perfect. Can you tell us about these flaws, Aladdin?
So there really only is one flaw, and I don't think it's that much of a problem, but it can be for people who really want to go deep into the book. That flaw is that the translation is not entirely accurate, because this, as you can tell from the author's name, is a Japanese book. So the translation from the Japanese language, which sometimes can't be as accurate as the language, can be very different in terms of some phrases or words. So I think there are some bits that are either don't make sense, or it's kind of a bit different from what the writer was trying to say. As in, let's say they're trying to portray a big thing, but it's just the words get simplified through translation. And I think if the translation was better, which with our technology can't be exact all the time, I think that would make the book one of the best there is. But otherwise, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's partially a flaw, but it's not too major, which is why I'm going to give this book an 8.5 out of 10. I really liked it. And one recommendation I have is not to read the four all at once, because it can kind of get repetitive. So just space them out over other books.
Yeah, I'm going to also give it an 8.5. And as Nick said, I don't think you should read all four consecutively. Otherwise, you might think that it's a bad series. As for me, reading one series or one genre of books over and over and over again in a row is very repetitive and boring, and will make you not want to read that genre anymore. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And remember to fill that void!